Bahrain GP. Don't know what the episode number is. This is Box, Box, Box. What should we do?
Sack off Japan and roll the intro music.
Let's do this. Right, welcome back to Box, Box, Box. I'm Sam.
I am Dom.
If
I really
want to
say I am Groot.
I am Groot.
I am Groot.
Matt, the problem is now anytime I hear Groot, all I see is fucking Ernie just fucking Grooting. Ernie is a dog that's in my life. Nigel Ernst, man, still that one. Anyway, so
what are we talking about, Sam?
I'm addressing the elephant in the room first. Why are
go on.
In this situation, Dom? Why are we recording pretty much remotely? Why are we doing it on Google Drive, Google Meets? Explain yourself.
I have man flu.
Since
I've smothered myself in vapor rub, I feel a little bit better.
This is our third attempt because first time we didn't have audio recording properly. Second time, Dom just decided to very sensually rub himself in vapor rub, which wanted to keep it family friendly, even though we swear like our lives depend on it. You know,
I don't know what the fuck you're on about.
That's linking bio behavior. That is, you know, when you start lathering yourself in vapor rub.
I needed to apply the time called for it.
Anyway, Dom, what are you wearing?
I am wearing McLaren Honda. Old school. This is, I think, like 2006-07 maybe a bit earlier, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's old school. I like it.
That's sick, you know. That is actually sick.
It's got Honda on it.
Honda,
love me some Honda.
So I want to address an elephant in the room first, and this is like the third time we've spoken about this, and every time it's getting me more and more pissed off now. It's the fucking Sky Sports beer glass on Sky Sports Business. Sky, I'm looking at you dead in the camera now, right? I'm moving my mic because I want to like just address this. Sort your fucking shit out, honestly.
Sort it out.
Honestly, there's nothing more annoying than when you're trying to watch the race, right? And what I find that's happening is like it'll come like a driver will go into the pits and then a Sky will be like, yeah, nah, mush. Unfortunately, that's great that you want to see this really like cool part of the race, but we're just going to block the times with our beer glass. Cheers, Sky.
I think for this episode, what you need to do is you need to, in the final like YouTube edit, it's just put the Sky pint glass in the bottom corner.
Nah, mate, I'm gonna put like a martini glass in there just to really take the piss.
Yeah.
But yeah,
a tankard. Tankard.
Can you imagine if Sky approach us next week to get sponsored?
Big up Sky.
Nah, fuck Sky. You said
fuck Sky, but also big up Sky.
But yeah, so it was the Bahrain GP. We're going to talk about that literally in just a moment. But obviously, the run-up to the race, I'm not going to lie, as I said, I didn't really have a chance to watch any of qualifying and practice, and I know you didn't either, Dom.
Yeah, well, I didn't catch any of practice, and we both watched highlights of quali, didn't we?
Which, obviously, that brought me into
a little bit of a predicament at work.
A bit of predicament, yeah, at work. Unintentionally, completely not my fault. As I said, like, I try to watch as much of the races as I can, like, as a Formula One fan, but obviously sometimes it does get work and life does get in the way.
Well, me and you have had a busy weekend, haven't we? So it's been chaotic.
I wasn't aware, basically, of the penalty between Russell and Antonelli had. Well, I was aware of it, and then when I checked the starting grid on the morning on Formula One's official services, which is Liberty Media, I didn't see the penalty there, so I thought, oh, okay, cool, the penalty has either been revoked, because we know the FIA do that. They will remove a penalty if it's being contested or anything like that. It's rare, but crazier things have happened. And the gentleman came up, told me, and I was like insistent. I was like, look, this is what F1's website is saying. This is basically the data I have to use, which, fair play, he was understanding. And then he made it very clear when the grid was different on the actual race. I was like, look, I have to use the data I'm provided with. But next time, dude, if you're in, buy your beer. But yeah, while all that was happening, where were you, Dominic?
I was at Silverstone for for Japfest with the Asbros UK lot. So if any of you guys had watched the Get to Know episode that we did, you will understand the context behind that. But yeah, I was at Silverstone for Japfest, and I literally left Silverstone at around 2 p.m. 2:30 maybe, and I drove straight from Silverstone to Birmingham, and I had to wait around to meet my dad while I was there, and then on top of that, we both arrived at, we walked through the doors and walked up to Sam just as the formation lap started. We could, literally could not have
timed it better if you tried. You literally couldn't have timed that better if you tried. But honestly, mate, like, what a race. I don't even know where to begin, but I think we should just begin at the start, which was the first time all season we've seen a Ferrari on the front row, which is the first two positions, with Charles Leclerc being in P2, which, you know what, fair play to him. He's been driving so well this season. I mean, he's a fantastic driver anyway.
Oh, yeah, but well, to be honest, I think like Piastri definitely deserved his P1 that he got in qualifying.
Yeah, 100%. Mate, he deserved the race as well, but he really was an incredible... Piastri has just been on some mad shit, you know, this season. He's really been going for it.
Well, everyone's been going on about how Norris is like the McLaren favourite at the moment. And I get that, but at the same time, I think Piastri's the one to watch, like 100%, because he's showing real potential. Like, not that he wasn't last year, but more so than usual right now. And it's like, wow.
Yeah. Honestly, mate, like, and the thing is, obviously, I mean, like, yeah, Piastri's showing real potential. Like, obviously, I want to speak about him a lot more later, about Antonelli as well, mate. That guy, for a rookie, he's going to be a future world champion. But I want to touch on that later.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So we had Ferrari on the front row, Ferrari front row of the season, with the starting grid being pre-FIA bullshit. Of Oscar Piastri, Charles Leclerc in P2, George Russell P3, Pierre Gasly in P4, who drove fucking incredible, Antonelli in P5, Lando Norris P6, Verstappen 7, Sainz 8, Hamilton 9, Tsunoda 10. But I mean, obviously, straight as well, there was a big battle between Russell and Piastri into turn one for P1.
Russell was battling for P1. I think George probably would have done a lot better if he hadn't have had his little lockup that he had. That
lockup 100%.
Cost him.
That cost him, that, to be honest, mate, that cost him.
That could have cost him the race. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be honest, mate, and I know you're on Man City, and I do agree. I think if Russell would have had P1, he would have won that race.
Yeah, well, I think
100%.
Without looking like I'm throwing shade at George Russell here, I genuinely think that's probably the most exciting thing George has done all season. I understand he's never had a terrible finish all season. And what race are we in for?
We're in race four, I believe.
So, you know, it's not... we're not that far into it. But yeah, every race, it seems to have been... George has been waiting for someone else to make a mistake so he can end up on the podium. But
yeah, exactly. As opposed to that, George really drove then. He drove like
I was going to say, this race, he 100% deserved...
He deserved everything he's got.
Every point that he got for it, yeah. He drove absolutely incredibly. That's why I said this race is probably the most impressive entertainment that George Russell has provided for us fans.
Because, the thing is, obviously, moving on as well, obviously, we had Lando climbing from P6 to P3. Well, it would have been P5, technically, with the point, with the FIA bullshit, let's call it. Climbing to P3. I mean, obviously, again, it shows the capability of that McLaren as a car, and Lando as a driver as well.
Oh, yeah, like Lando... Well, I think it shows how good the car is. The thing with Lando is... I think the pressure's starting to get to him now. I think.
Yeah.
Ever so slightly. Like, I'm not saying it's like writ him off, because it completely hasn't. Like, he's still
currently the points leader.
Yeah, he's still showing world champion potential. But I think.
Oh, 100%.
Piastri's showing more, and Kimi Antonelli's showing even more so.
I think the thing is with the McLaren, with Camp McLaren at the minute, and McLaren as a team, is, you know, those drivers are being pushed, and it's like, I imagine they're almost being pushed against each other as well. Like, to, you look, he did this, so you could do this.
Well, I imagine they're at a point now where it's the most, I mean, how would you put it? It's probably the hardest they've both ever had to work. And it's not because they're having to race better drivers or whatever, but because they've both proven that the car is cream of the crop, and they're having to race against, like you say, almost each other. Like, they've only got each other to prove against now, because they've proven how good the car is. So
that's exactly it. Now both the cars are fast, and now what all it's proven
the cars
now is,
are fast.
They are so fucking fast. I know we say it all the time, but honestly, like, they are, that it's the fastest I've ever seen McLaren.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've seen outside of Formula One, McLaren are now also going back into endurance racing, like Le Mans and stuff.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I saw Zak Brown announce it, which is pretty cool. Somebody else, before we move on to back onto Lando, but Gasly, man, Pierre Gasly, he's driving incredible for Alpine as well. And Alpine were like a mid to the back of the pack team. Like, Pierre Gasly, like, I mean, he started in P4.
He had a good race this race, but I don't think, like, this season he's been magnificent.
But it really could be now, where him having,
like, I love Gasly, I love him, but I don't think that this season's been his season so far. Good race for Bahrain, definitely. But yeah, well, that's my opinion.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he drove really incredible. I think he deserved sort of how the race that he had. But the thing is,
hang on. Pierre Gasly.
I'll be done wrong. Anyway, he finished in P7 in the race, which was pretty damn good. But yeah, I mean, obviously, we've got to address the big elephant in the room, which, you know what, I feel was a justified shopping by Verstappen, but Lando's false start. He wasn't just slightly out of his, like, his starting box. Well,
he
starting
grip. He jumped.
He was. His wing was over the grid.
And he jumped. It was the jump that I think set it off. Where I think that's what made Verstappen go, oh.
Yeah, I absolutely get it. Like, it's one of those ones where, like, if you are racing, you're racing at that level, you've got to be better.
Yeah. But remember, Verstappen, snitches get stitches. Anyway,
bro, leave him out of it. He's got a wife and kids at home.
Yeah, that's why you should fucking watch his mouth.
It's funny, I love him. But one thing as well, I think it was on the first couple of laps, was Antonelli like pretty much like drifting with Sainz unintentionally.
Yeah, I don't remember, but
literally we've just rewatched the race. Right. Yeah, Kimi Antonelli. Antonelli's back end like was going like wild, which was I enjoyed Fair it. Enough. I mean my. Kimi Antonelli is giving me like a young Danny Rick vibe. That's how I'm seeing Kimi Antonelli. He reminds me of like a new Danny Rick. Like he's just so happy and so excited to be in Formula One.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
He's got zero ego, and like it feels like his family tries hardest now to keep him like grounded.
Grounded. Yeah.
He knows where he comes from and all that stuff, which I love that about him. Not that, 5 second penalty to Lando.
10 second penalty to Ocon. Yeah.
No. Fuck's sake. Literally, I can't. Actually, highlight from the weekend, and this dude comes in all the time. I think he's a season pass holder. And he kind of went up to him and it was either this race or was it the last race when I went up. I was like, oh, how's it feel? Oh, so you know what? Was it Japan when he said it? When he was like, oh, yeah, there's three RBs.
It was Japan. Yeah. I was going to say, because I went there for the start of the.
Yeah. He was in again. And he said something equally as absolutely iconic. I need to get his name and get him on this fucking pod, because honestly, the dude was comedy gold. I think he's a comedian. But yeah, so 5 second penalty to Lando. Do we know what that was for? Is that in your notes?
That was his jump start.
It was his jump start. Literally, that's what we've just been speaking about. Obviously, Ferrari have just been... Ferrari, you know, the drivers are incredible, and the cars are pretty damn good. But just their race strategy and the way, like, the team, like, support their drivers just is not good enough.
before we binge into Ferrari and their shit stops, pit stops.
I was more talking about Leclerc's brakes.
Oh, okay. Well, before you get into Leclerc's brakes, we were both talking about Antonelli and Pierre Gasly being good drivers, but I just had to make a note about the battle that Antonelli and Gasly had for P5, where they were fighting it out. I feel it really does show, especially Antonelli's potential, but it shows how good Gasly is, I guess. I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, 100% I agree with you on that one. Honestly, man, going back to Ferrari, so Leclerc was complaining about his brakes and the team was like, well, what do you want us to do about that?
Fix them.
It's one of those ones where it feels like Ferrari, it's the Niki Lauda comment, man. It's a Ferrari, it's a shitbox. And I feel like they've built this brand new car from the ground up pretty much. And it's becoming a bit of a shitbox. It's everyone else. No one's really having any issues. I think
Red Bull are having a hard time. Verstappen's doing is complaining about the car.
Yeah, that's true. No, but I mean, in terms of literally from race one, there's been issues with Ferrari.
There's been issues with Red Bull too. I think they're both on the same par.
I mean, obviously am I right in remembering that Russell had gearbox issues?
Russell,
that was later. Russell was having gearbox issues later on in the race. Russell's car was clapped, but we'll get onto that in a bit.
There's a lot to talk about with Russell's car.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel as well that Leclerc staying on Ferrari is giving you a bit of Kimi Raikkonen energy at the minute? And what I mean by that, it's just his radio communications.
I think he's trying to stay in the good side of the FIA. And I know that we spoke about that they can't penalise you for whatever you say during the race on the radio because, it's heat at the moment and all that. But at the same time, it's I just think he's trying to keep his mouth shut and stop himself from getting into trouble. And he's just like, you know what? I'll embrace my inner Raikkonen and whatnot.
Yeah, he's being very passive aggressive, isn't he?
Yeah, but I think he's also a little bit pissed off at his team because, why wouldn't you beat Ferrari? They keep fucking it up. Every race this season has been the opposite of Tagliatelle tactics.
The only thing that Ferrari's done well in this season has been the sprint.
He's getting disqualified. Oh, sorry. What?
He's literally the sprint. Was a sprint because everything else, the one thing that they didn't really have any input on, race strategy or anything like that, where it was just drivers going out and driving was what they did well in. Which for me, if that's not an alarm bell to sort shit out,
you've got to sort your strategy out.
Sort your race strategy out massively. And then obviously, while we are on the subject of, 40 cars, let's move back, as you've mentioned, about Red Bull. So this is was this Tsunoda's second race?
Yeah, this is Tsunoda's second.
Yeah, I mean, it comes to the point that Max is saying that the car's shit. Well, the car's difficult to drive. And obviously, Yuki's doing better than Lawson did in it. And I'm quite happy to see that now.
This race was the best points finish. Well, I think first points finish and best finish for the second Red Bull car. All season. I might be wrong on that statistic, but I think I'm pretty bob on.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where, so I'm just moving my recording, where it's that Red Bull car. I can't remember who I was speaking to about this, but I was saying my opinion on Max Verstappen is changing a lot lately because he's been more outspoken about the team and about the car. And if things aren't right, he actually speaks about it now. And there's a running joke that he moans about it and everything. But I do look like if he can give that performance in a car that is that unstable and that hard to drive.
Imagine him in the McLaren.
Or imagine him in the RB that is a better car to drive or in the McLaren. In the McLaren, he would be unstoppable. No one would catch him. Continuing on, I do want to stay on Yuki. Did you see Yuki went to Daikoku Junction with Red Bull?
I did not.
Yeah, with Diego.
I did not see that.
It's
cool,
like, man.
That is something I should have known about.
Yeah, man. I thought you would have seen that. It's really cool, man. Like, it's Yuki talking about, like, Japanese car culture, like the whole JDM scene, like obviously the Bozozoku scene, and it's a really good watch. It's on Rebels YouTube at the minute, so if you want to check that out,
I need to look at that.
I'll be honest, if it's something that that I feel me and you really connect with, obviously with the Japanese car scene, is all that. And obviously that was following Japan, and that's not really to do with the Bahrain race, but yeah, that's just a really good bit of watching while we're on the subject of Yuki. But returning back to sort of race, well, fucked cars. No,
let's get back to the, I don't want peace, I want problems.
George Russell's car, what the fuck was going on with it?
Well, before we get to Russell's car, Verstappen's pit stop light, that's something that I feel is quite important to the outcome of everything that went on in the race. Because obviously on his first stop, considering he's trying to get up the grid because he started so far back.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on in the Red Bull garage, but I think everything's fucked.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of one of them ones, because obviously the green lights or the release lights on the pit there, that because people...
They won't tell the drivers it's safe. That's how you know whether to get out.
You know why they came about, don't you, with the whole... They were trying to pit too quick and cars were being released without like torqued wheel bet. Wheel bolts or things weren't done properly. So then
Someone else might have been shooting down in the pit lane.
Yeah, it's...
There's various safety reasons.
It's one of those ones where I don't disagree with the pit release lights. But like, honestly, like it... Red Bull, to say Red Bull, I've always said they are king of the pit stop. No one is better at a pit stop. Maybe, all jokes aside, like Ferrari. Ferrari are pretty damn good also. Ferrari are good at stacking.
Ferrari, see, I obviously made notes about Ferrari stacking their pits. And it was a consistent pit stop, but it wasn't exactly fast. And I feel like if they would have... listened to Leclerc, who was like, oh, I don't want to pit yet. If they would have listened to him,
yeah, because he
probably would have had slightly faster pit stops. Not by much, but enough.
He wanted to be on a different race strategy, didn't he?
Yeah, which I get it, but you know.
But yeah, I mean, so there was, and obviously Verstappen having to serve a penalty as well in the pits, am I right?
Because that was further on in the race, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was his second stop.
Yeah, that was his second stop. But yeah, so going back to George Russell, though, what the hell was going on in his car? So he had gearbox issues where he couldn't shift, or his gearbox was like sloppy or something. And it was not an enjoyable drive. To say he finished where he did, that shows the talent of his. Then also he had the DRS issues where his
and transponder. Delta issues with the...
So his transponder wasn't working, from what I understand.
So I don't know if you know, there was an investigation after the race, because they gave him the manual override for DRS. There was an investigation, and he pressed the DRS button, I think it was just before the DRS.
It was like a hundredth of a second before, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was somewhat mental, but he also closed it earlier than he would if... His DRS was talking. Yeah. He lost, I think he lost like 400ths of a second. So in the investigation, he didn't actually gain anything from what he was doing. He still actually lost time ever so slightly. So the investigation result deemed that he didn't actually do anything wrong. So, and the fact that he still finished P2. And he was having to do that. Very good there, George.
Yeah.
Gotta give him some credit.
Absolutely incredible driving, mate. Absolutely incredible. But like, as I said, like it's one of those ones where, like, as you said about the investigation into him releasing a bit too early into what opened his DRS, literally like microseconds too early and closing it too early. He's a human being that there's infamously 0.2 of a second reaction time is what they allow.
Well, it's the fact that he managed to react accordingly. It's the fact that he thought to himself, oh, I opened that early. I should probably close it a bit early, you know, coming up to the braking zone. And having to think that quick.
I couldn't do that. At speeds of, 200 miles an hour, mate, you've got to be absolutely incredible. But moving swiftly on, let's talk about Carlos Sainz. So he had a fair few little incidents. Obviously, there was the battle for P8 with Hamilton, which I found was great, because obviously that was basically you were battling your old employer for a position and the guy who replaced you. Obviously, Hamilton ended up taking the place, but I enjoyed that. Then obviously there was, who did he crash with? It's not I on.
It's Sainz's not on crash?
Yeah.
I know he always had some
His car was mash up on it. Like his car was like literally missing the side, and that's why he was at the race. But for some reason,
Further on. I think it was Sonoda, Albon, maybe.
Sonoda,
that's
Sonoda. Sonoda, there is. It is Albon. In my notes. So obviously it was a crash between Sonoda and Sainz.
Do you want to repeat what your notes says about Sainz's car?
Sainz's car mashup. We have the same notes for once as well, so that this is why we're a bit easier flowing in what's going on. So there was that crash. Safety car went out. Piastri, Russell, Leclerc, Norris and Hamilton all went and pitted under the safety car. It throws me when drivers and teams don't, the minute there's a safety car out, that people don't pit.
Well, I know you've got the stuff about the safety car, but before I get to my point on the safety car, I wanted to talk about Verstappen's dodgy second stop with his wheel being stuck. I know he brushed over it. That was, well, I just wanted to mention it because that was crazy. And everyone at the F1 Arcade was like, hey, watching his dodgy wheel. But yeah. And then
I feel really bad, you know, because there's a kid, right, who comes in to F1 Arcade and he's such a sweet little kid, right? He's been there loads. It's an Asian family. They've got a son and a daughter, and it's like a mum and dad, they're coming. You've probably seen him around. And he's a massive Verstappen fan. And I'm like, it must suck, you know, when you're a kid and everyone's like, just because everyone knows how much of a dick Verstappen was. As I said, I feel he's got a lot better. But now, obviously, like, it's gone. Imagine that you're just hearing your hero game basically cussed out by everyone. I feel sorry for the kid, man.
I think the kid, I don't want to jump on like someone else's bandwagon here, but I feel like as a younger child, he's kind of gotten into Formula One and he's like, and then it's like, right, time to choose my favourite driver. Who's the one that wins all the time? Verstappen, he's my favourite. And then since then, obviously he's not winning all the time now, but yeah.
No.
So, I understand what you mean, but I feel like, I don't know, I find it hard to believe that if Verstappen wasn't winning, a child would not pick him as their favourite driver because of his personality. He's not really... And I suppose children don't pick drivers for their personalities, do they? He's got nothing like that. You look at him, I don't think there's anything that'd make a child choose Verstappen. Like Liam Lawson loves cars, so kids are going to be like, I like that driver, maybe. I don't know, I'm just thinking outside the box here.
Yeah, maybe. But I mean, not only that, but we've got to talk about the battle between Antonelli and Verstappen as well. Antonelli gapped Verstappen. I bet you Antonelli was buzzing when he went past him.
Yeah, well, that was actually like wild.
Yeah,
It was for P7, wasn't it? Yeah,
I believe so. Yeah. But honestly, like Antonelli is, and it is in the notes, but I really do feel we are watching a future world champion there. And it's not an if situation. It's not an if situation. It is when.
It's when.
He really is going to be... He's the one to watch, isn't he? 100% the one to watch.
He really, really is. I think another thing that I wanted to talk about was going into the... I think it was the first corner. I don't know what lap this would have been, but it was pre-safety car, so it would have been like around about halfway through the race.
Yeah.
But racing into that first corner was Ocon, Stroll, Lawson and Antonelli. So in that order. So imagine Kimi Antonelli. And I'm assuming Antonelli may have been ahead of them all, so maybe lapping. No, I don't know. But imagine being Antonelli sat at the back of that pack. And you can see Liam Lawson, who currently at the moment, you know, not in his best form. Lance Stroll, I don't need to say anything. And Ocon, I also don't need to say anything. Antonelli driving into the middle of that is like, I heard them say on the radio, you know, Ocon, Stroll, Lawson, Antonelli all racing into the corner, and then you saw them all come through and you could just see Antonelli taking like a cautious line to get past them all. It was just like,
he was like, absolutely fucking nutter, you guys going to ruin my race.
That's it. That's what I was waiting for. I wouldn't imagine that Lawson would have made it a bad move to cause Antonelli to crash, but Ocon and Stroll.
Yeah, you got a fine chance there. As I said, we've cursed Lance Stroll now. He's doomed to fuck up for the rest of the race.
We've thrown shade at him for the first three races.
We've hyped him up a bit too much, and that's it. Now he's fucked. He's fucked. Yeah. I will say, going on to moving on to Norris, though, and like obviously the battles with the Ferraris, the battles that he had with Hamilton and the battle that he had with Leclerc, it was great, proper racing. And I feel that's what this season has been a lot of this year, which has lacked in previous years, is that this year has been proper. What I'd say, and you'll understand it,
as the advertisements go by, I think it's quite rightly so the most anticipated F1 season of all time.
But what I was going to say is, like, I would class it as door-to-door racing, because obviously that's what I class it as, but obviously they're open seats, so it'd be wheel-to-wheel racing. It's proper close contact racing. It isn't like where the deltas are massive. That happens, but like there's real good challenges happening all the time, and it makes it more engaging. It's not like, say, for example, where it was for the last couple of years, where it was like, oh, Verstappen's in P1.
And he's 25 seconds ahead of Norris.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's so good to see the grid being... the grid just being fun to watch.
That's been good.
Norris forcing... Was it Hamilton off the track? Because I know Norris had to give a position back to Hamilton.
So, Hamilton took on Norris on the restart after the safety car. But Norris got it back, and then how Norris got it back was coming off the track. So I think he was obviously forced to give the position back under team instruction. I don't know. To be honest, mate, I've forgotten what you've just said before I started talking now. Not going to lie, I'm just, my head is so mangled.
Dom today definitely gets a break because he is dying of literal man flu. Literal man flu, that's why we're doing it like this. But yeah, I can't remember what I said, so we'll move swiftly on.
Let's move on to the subject of George Russell during... So everyone like throws into the pits on the safety car, and George Russell like... 24 laps on a soft. That's audacious.
Yeah, and then Lando.
Yeah, it's the most George Russell thing to say ever. It's very audacious.
And it's Lando. He's on soft tyres. He's on a great tyre.
Lando's like, yes, those are good tyres.
The thing that also makes a question is that, does that mean that, like, obviously the teams can hear each other's radios then?
So I don't think they can hear each other. Well... they have access to them just like we do. So I imagine. What was that thing that you were using that like transcribes all the radio messages?
Multiviewer.
Yeah. So that's fantastic, and I imagine all the teams have access to.
I'm having like what you on that episode a couple of weeks back where like people would not stop calling you.
Oh God, yeah. I had to chuck my phone on silent earlier on.
Honestly, so, mate, like my phone has not stopped today. And thank you to everyone who's calling me to do work with us. But you know what? Trying to do a pod?
Now is not the time.
Continuing on.
Antonelli and Sainz almost contact on the restart after the safety car.
Yes.
In as well. And which then obviously brought me on to Lando, giving his position back under team instruction. George Russell having his DRS issue. And then moving beautifully onto... Sainz's 10 second time penalty, and then having the hole in his car. Do you think he gave a fuck about his 10 second time penalty? No. Why? Because he retired. Bummer.
The question is, he technically didn't serve that 10 second penalty, so does that mean on the next race he's going to have to serve that 10 second penalty?
I don't think he will, because obviously he retired, so he literally finished last. So
that's going to be interesting one, because what driver is it who, like, if he ever returns back to F1, he's got to serve a 10-second penalty because he never served it?
The 10-place grid penalty. That's different though. But that's Jenson Button. That's a grid penalty.
Yes,
that's different
to a time penalty. It is. But honest.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm just reading through your notes, and I'm just seeing the one about Hülkenberg. Can you please give context to this? Because I feel it's going to be like another Disqualify Me Daddy episode.
Well, it's quite literally Hülkenberg was disqualified for his skid plate being too small. Exactly the same reason why Hamilton was disqualified on the lovely episode that we titled Disqualify Me Daddy, because. Like so, his wood was too small. Yeah, just there it is.
Oh,
his wood, his wood was too small, and he got disqualified.
I don't want to do another thumbnail like that, you know. I really don't want to do another thumbnail like that. But honestly, mate, like, what an incredible race it was. You know what? We've pretty much covered most of the race, and we're only like 36 minutes in, because we've just been that excited, and we've just flown through everything.
What did I not mention? Lando fighting Leclerc's Ferrari for P3, which he won.
Yeah, I was about. Yeah, fight, so there was a Norris Leclerc battle on that was lap 25. I think that happened as well. There was another battle for them.
And then obviously Russell with his tech issues. Lando finally having Leclerc on lap 55. Black and white flag for Verstappen on the penultimate lap.
There was also a black and white flag for Hajar as well.
Yeah, I do have that somewhere. Obviously, just Russell's DRS override issue, which, it is what it is.
So, Dom, let's talk about our race predictions. So I said...
Well, before we get into the race predictions, let's go through the race results.
That's been race... the last race predictions. So
the race results. So yeah, let's see if we can do this smoothly. I'll do the odd, you do the even.
Okay, go for it.
P1 Piastri.
P2 Russell.
P3 Lando Norris.
P4 Charles Leclerc.
P5 Lewis Hamilton.
P6 Max Verstappen.
P7 Pierre Gasly.
P8 Esteban Ocon. With a 10-point penalty, 10-second penalty.
10-second time penalty. P9, Yuki Tsunoda.
P10, Oliver Behrman.
P11, Kimi Antonelli.
P12, Alexander Albon.
P13, Isaac Hajar.
P14, Jack Doohan.
P15, Fernando Alonso.
P16, Liam Lawson.
You gotta do it in the X Factor voice.
P16, Liam Lawson.
You're not the best. P17, go on.
The funniest thing is because we're both in our I'm at unit, but I've got a really fucking aggressive compressor. You've got a really aggressive compressor, so it just sounds like we're on the radio.
On the radio.
Radio.
So, yeah, P17, Lance Stroll.
How the fuck did that happen? P18, Gabriel Bortoleto.
P19, Carlos Sainz.
And P20, Nico Hülkenberg. Hülkenberg!
Actually, that's a point. So Sainz retired, but Hülkenberg finished, but he was obviously disqualified, so he falls out of the...
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it? Like, I was about to bring that up, which... That's a weird one, you know, and that's straight back into the conversation. So
the
more you know. So how does that work then? Because, and I think that's something we've got to touch on the next episode. After we research that. Because even though Sainz retired, Hülkenberg was disqualified. So obviously Hülkenberg would automatically always tag last place. So it's clear and simple why it would happen, but it's a weird one.
Yeah.
And the question is, how does it work in disqualification? When people retire, say for example, if multiple cars retire, how does the positioning work on that as well? Because I'd assume your position...
I think it goes in order of
who's retired.
Well, reverse order. So if, let's say, for example, just going off the list here. So let's say Hülkenberg retired Sorry, let's say Stroll retired first.
Then Bortoleto, then Sainz.
Then Bortoleto.
And that would be the that
yeah,
would be
it would
the
go that way.
That, yeah.
Or would it? Because,
no, it'd be the other way around.
No, maybe it'd be, yeah, it'd be Hulkenberg, Sainz, Bortoleto.
The person
yeah.
who retires first is going to be furthest down because someone have put in the most laps.
Completed.
But let's talk about our predictions. So for my predictions, I put Norris, Verstappen, Piastri. Now, I've got 2 out of 3.
I mean, credit. I mean, I'm not sure what the fucking point scoring thing was, but I've created a spreadsheet for us to keep track of all of these now so that we can come back and we can make a point scoring system properly if we really want and go from there. Because I'm thinking maybe you should get like 1 point if you get one of the drivers in the right place.
Yeah, because in a minute we're all still on zero.
Yeah, we'll figure it out and go from there, and we'll work it out in the last episode. But I've made a fancy spreadsheet to put them all in there that like changes colours and stuff when you put drivers' names in. So
okay, you love a fucking spreadsheet. So Dom, what was your prediction?
My prediction was Piastri, Verstappen, Norris. I don't think I weren't too far off.
Well, Piastri won. I mean, we had the same
same
drive just in a different order.
Yeah, the opposite way around. Yeah.
Yeah. And obviously your dad, the independent on this thing.
Independent.
He put Piastri, Russell and Verstappen. And so your dad was close again, just with...
Well, he got the first two.
Like, so if your dad would have said Norris, he would have been the first one in the points. But now, what are we going for the next race? So for me...
So Jeddah, Saudi Grand Prix.
The Saudi. I'm going to go...
Howdy, Saudi.
I'm going to go Piastri in P1.
Go on.
I'm going to go Leclerc in P2 and Norris in P3.
Okay. Do you want to fill mine in? Because I can't be asked.
I'm there.
I'm still going to go Piastri. Likewise.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a McLaren 1-2, so Norris in second.
And who's your P3?
George Russell.
Oh, see, that's my heart is saying put Russell in mine, but obviously I've committed now. We'll get your dad's on a different time.
Should I just call him for the banter?
No, let's not do that.
Okay. I was going to call him, be like, Dad. He's literally like 2 rooms away from me. But
that would be hilarious. But yeah. I think that about wraps it up, Dom, in terms of covering the Bahrain Grand Prix.
Yeah,
and
I think
that happened.
There was something I wanted to say in regards to Bahrain. I'm just pulling it up. Well, see if I can find my washing my face out trying to find these notes.
Jesus Christ, Dom literally has the brightest screens known to man, apparently.
They're running on their minimum brightness, but when I run white, it just blows my face out.
You know, next time if we ever do this, I just need to get you a DSLR to yours.
Yeah, do you know what? I was just thinking, I could have used my GoPro.
Yeah, 100% could have used your GoPro.
So the Saudi Grand Prix will be at 6 p.m. on local time. So
that's
that would
GMT.
Be 8.
No, hang on.
That's 8. Oh, sorry, no, our time, it will start at 6 p.m. for us in the UK and 8 p.m. for local time, sorry.
Dom, will you be joining me at Formula One Arcade for that, or are you working next Sunday? So that's the race.
Yes to both of them. Yes to both. I will be joining you, and yes, I am working.
So yeah, I'll be at Formula One Arcade from 4 till 10. Then obviously, if you want to know where we are over the bank holiday weekend, we'll tell you that on our social medias. Yeah. So Dom, where can we
watch
find
yours,
you?
Sam?
I was saying where
I was going to say if you watch.
I'm giving you the opportunity first. So where can we find you, Dominic?
You can find me at DJ Dom Cook on pretty much everything. Where are we finding you, big
you
man?
Can find me at Sentio Silvano, and literally as I'm repping my clothing brand on all socials, including literally everything everywhere. Where you can find me DJing over the weekend. That's also going to be on there. Because it's bank holiday weekend, so it's going to be a good, fun weekend.
Oh, God, I'm not ready for the... lack of sleep we're both going to get. And then, F1's going to...
Do you know what's even funnier? I'm going on a brunch in a bit. I'm going on a brunch and potentially a spa day just before.
Oh, Lord. Lord.
Great, mate. They're great. You're a tiger.
A tiger.
Right, Dominic, where can you find...
I caught you off guard with that one, didn't I?
Oh, please tell me you were doing the Austin Powers reference.
No, I was doing the Mo Gilligan reference. The lion. The tiger.
Anyway, where can you find us, Dom?
You can find all our podcast related material at BoxBoxBoxPod, TikTok, Instagram. I think those are our big two.
You name it.
Give us a follow. Give us a mention. Chuck us a comment. We'll give you a shout out if you want. I don't know. We're really encouraging some interaction. We want to get some shout outs on the show. So feel free to drop us a message. Reply to a story.
Hang on. I'm going to go on our Instagram now and give some shout outs. Dom, give me some background music. Give me some background music while I get our Instagram up.
I'll try it. Shall I mimic the Formula One theme? Do, 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 do.
Anyway, well, it's a massive... Do I do this in pirate radio style? Massive shout out to the Sean. Massive shout out to Nate. Massive shout out to Liam Randalls. Massive shout out to Jack Hammer. Massive shout out to Melinda. Massive shout out to
all my Formula One crew.
You know what? I feel when it's a Silverstone GP, we've got to do the intro in the style of UKG. That's when I'm going to do the new theme, and I'm going to have a UK garage remix of it. Just for the bands. Yeah, anyway, thank you so much for listening.
It's been wonderful. Thank you. I've been Dom.
I've been Sam. We'll be back to normal next week, I promise.
Fingers crossed. As long as you don't get the man flu.
I'll be fine. Take care. Love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
See you in a bit.